Blog Talk Radio.
Got to give the people what they want. That was our opening bumper tune. In fact, it was so sweet, we might just have to do a repeat. But before we do, let me let everyone know you are at the right place at the right time here at Progressive News Weekly, where we bring you news and information like nowhere else. Gathered from around the country, in fact, sometimes around the world, because we do occasionally go beyond the shores of these United States. My name is Darrell Clark, and I want to say thank you for all of you who have taken the time out to tune in again to Progressive News Weekly, where we bring you news that's not typically heard on mainstream media. And if you should hear something similar on mainstream media, it's not given the attention or the time that it deserves. It may be a 3-minute snippet in between the negative propaganda that you would normally get from mainstream media. But here at Progressive News, we keep it real, we keep it live, and we give it all the time that it deserves, even if it means carrying over to a future program. Week in and week out, we bring you news and information that's for you, by you, and of you. It's news and information that we like to say you can use. There's no coincidence that we say it's for you, by you, and of you, because that is the platform on which our country is supposedly built. And I say supposedly because, well, in these times, not so unlike past times, that can be questionable. Is it truly a government for the people, by the people, and of all the people, or just some of the people, some of the time? So with that said, we are going to bring you a program tonight that I think you will find highly enlightening, because that's our intent. It's our intent to bring you news and information that's inspiring, that's encouraging, that's enlightening, that's empowering, and hopefully encouraging and instilling to make you not just hear, but to do, to get involved, to make a difference. It's news, as I said, that you can use. So, as always, I like to say, hold on to your seats, buckle up, so to speak, because we're bringing it straight with no chaser. I've got a couple of folks on tonight that I'm pleased, thrilled, and honored to have on. For those of you who are on my mail list, you know who that is if you're in my email. And I just like to put that carrot out there in the beginning of the program, because if you're not on the mail list, then you need to get on it, and you'll just send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore C-L-A, 18 at MSN.com, then you would know who's going to be on the program this evening, because I like to send out that newsletter, well, at least the day of the program, and often many days before the program, so that you'll be privy as to who's going to be on for that particular evening. Well, with that said, before we get into the program, I typically don't do a whole lot of mainstream media, and here we talk about not one item or another, but anything that can positively impact the lives of us, these people of the United States. As an African American, yes, I do have a predisposition with an African American perspective, but we don't stop there. Whether you be, as they say, Jew, Gentile, Asian, African descent, Latino descent, European, you are welcome to come to the table, but just keep it real. And so with that said, this evening, with so much going on, I mean, we have residual still going on from that election. And like I said, I don't do a whole lot of mainstream unless I'm just doing a correction piece. So much still. From the election, that I just thought it apropos that we have a little bit of discussion about that. And also, with what's been happening in our communities, and we've been doing a series of programs about that with regard to the crime, the black-on-black crime, the people-on-people crime, for those of you who aren't black and are experiencing that too, because folks, don't get it twisted. It just ain't about black-on-black. You know, in fact, most crimes are committed by people of one's own race, color, creed. So, you know, that's a media hype. Don't get caught up in it. So, now, back to our special guest that we're going to have on tonight as we delve into some of these current events that are happening. We know over the last several years, it's been very public what's been happening in our communities, leading all the way up to this, well, this change in our government. And I don't think the two are unrelated. I think they are related. For these last years, it's been no secret my disappointment with this current government that we're in right now. I believe that our government could have done more, especially under the leadership of President Barack Obama. I mince no words with that. I voted for brother when he came in and campaigned with the idea that he would step up and step out, at least in his second term, more than he did. And I'm not a homophobic against gay and lesbian. Not that I agree with that lifestyle. I'm just not fearful of it or, like I said, homophobic about it. And I only mentioned that just as one area where I feel like, you know, this particular president, as an example, gave more credit and credence and an agenda to that particular sect of our society than he did to his so-called own race. So yeah, I have some real concerns there. I do personally. I believe he could have stepped up and stepped out a bit more than he did. And I wasn't feeling a whole bunch of love for Hillary based on what her husband did to the brothers and sisters over the term that he was there. You know, he's, to me, sickeningly referred to as the first black president. And I say that because if you really look into and delve into the facts of the matter, under his presidency, more African-American males were imprisoned than any other president in our history. So, you know, let's just make sure we know all the facts before we just go lockstep following, you know, some entity or individual because the media says, well, this is the way, you know, it really appears to be. We must be very careful and diligent in terms of following what the media suggest. So I just lay that as a platform for our program tonight because it's about us at this point being very clear on who we propose to be and what our choices are going to be going forward. If we're going to be of any consequence of significance in this world society. See, it's not local anymore. This is a global society, and we better wake up to that fact. So with that said, tonight I just want to have a discussion on, as I said, the residual effect of our most recent election, some of the heinous crimes that have been taking place in the streets of on our brothers and sisters, and the misleading media that have skewed all of the above. So we're just going to keep it open, keep it real, and, of course, keep it live. And with that, if you have a comment or question or dispute, as long as you're respectful, this is a public, a family show, because we encourage youth to participate in these programs because our youth need to be educated as well or more. And if that's the case, then we won't have to cut you. Not literally, but figuratively speaking. The dial-in number is 347-838-9142. And as the bumper tune this evening depicted, we got to give the people what they want. But in order to give the people what they want, the people have to demand what they want. And, of course, that's one of my favorite bumper tunes from, you know, one of my favorite homeboy groups in Ohio, the OJs. But it's true. And like I said, I may have to just recap that a little bit before we get into our dialogue, just a little bit of let's give the people what they want. Got All right, now, don't get me started up in here. So with that said, giving the people what they want, our first special guest will be Officer Burnell Harrison. And I said I'm thrilled to have Officer Harrison on. He's been on the program many times, given his perspective on various topics, from politics to health to the well-being of our children. Truly a people's advocate, and I'm just going to have some open discussion, just kind of sitting back and just having some dialogue with Officer Harrison, because he has some very, very pertinent perspectives that he can bring us as a police officer, a black police officer in urban America. And we also are hopefully going to have some input from other guests that I've invited to join in terms of a perspective that often we don't hear as to what's going on in our inner cities. So let's start off with Officer Harrison. As I said, I'm thrilled to have him join us. He's a highly, let me just make sure I'm clear on this, he's a highly respected and decorated police officer in his police force. So he truly comes with a wealth of experience, and truly he pulls no punches in terms of his viewpoints, and that's why he fits so well with what we do here at Progressive News Weekly. Officer Harrison, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Clark. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well. Blessed and, as we say, highly favored and grateful. And I really appreciate you taking the time out. I know you're very busy. You're involved in numerous benevolent organizations, and including the one that, we established here in our town, and to help youth and seniors. So we've been talking these last few weeks, and the times when you've been able to join in, about the aftermath. And I'd like to start there, just kind of start at 100,000 feet and then kind of work our way down, because we're going to have some input later on from at least one individual who can talk as perspective at that grassroots on the street level as you can. And hopefully we'll generate some dialogue from the listening audience. But in terms of the aftermath of this election, I know that you have not minced words about your feelings about voting. And I bring this up because I made no mince. You were in the studio when I was talking about my perspective of our current president. And, from some people's viewpoint, that's blasphemy, the language that I was just talking. And all I was doing was expressing my opinion and facts, factually. I have relatives that don't want to speak to me because of my viewpoint. So I'm saying that to say, how do you feel about this, this whole political arena and what's happening? And then I want to kind of peel back, as they say, that onion a little bit and break that down to what's happening at a local and community level and the responsibility we have to make a difference there.
All right, well, let's start with the song that you played, Give the People What They Want. Which of these presidents, when you played that, the question I had was, which one of these presidents or what candidates for president was going to give the people, our people, what we want? And when I thought about that, neither one of them, And so with that being said, it's like the aftermath of the final count and how people are distraught, and you see people on social media and text messages and conversations at work where they're talking like, what country do we want to move to, and it's going to be so terrible, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But the thing is that we're God's children. And we've been through some of the worst times in world history, you know, right here in America. There's nothing that we can't endure, and we're going to be okay. You know, instead of thinking about the worst, we need to start thinking, what is God trying to give us? What can we get out of this? And the thing is, I think over the last 8 years, we've been too comfortable. You know, we can have young black citizens get shot in the street, no justice has been done, and we just go on our merry way like it doesn't even matter to us as a whole. But yet, let the news media tell us black folk that Hillary is our savior. I've never seen black people so together on one accord. I never see them so passionate. I never seen them advocate for anyone or anything like they were advocating for Hillary Clinton. And to the point of, if you wasn't voting for Hillary Clinton, then you were, like you said, an outcast, or what's wrong with you, or if you don't vote for her, then it's a vote for Trump, and things like that. And they're like walking around and, you know, worked all day, and their work is not done because they have to campaign for her. And you gotta vote for this, you gotta vote for that. But how many different issues and topics that were so important to us, and not only important but necessary, that we never get behind it. We never get on one accord. We never get together like we did for Hillary. You know, when it's something to do for us and ourselves. So it's to the point where the media tells us when to fight. The media tells us when to stand. The media tells us what to stand for. We don't even have our own voice anymore. We don't even have our own agenda anymore. We take any agenda that's given to us and we use it like it's our own. You know, but I just didn't see what she was going to do for us. You know, and I told you before, I don't vote for presidents. I vote for local government only. You know, because like you said, she won the popular vote, but she still lost because this government has checks and balances so that the person that they want to be in, the Electoral College just makes that final vote, and they're going to get in. I really feel that this voting system is strictly to make us feel okay with the verdict, even if we don't agree with it, because we felt like we were a part of it when we're not. You know, and you know, how else can you, you know, right now, if you had a union and you won the ballot, but let's just say the board, they had another vote and they voted for their friend, you know, we would be in a, you know, it would be in an uproar over that, you know. So how can that happen with the presidency? So I really feel that even if Trump does make drastic changes against black people, we don't know yet, you know, because some of his things could benefit us. You know, the thing I do know is that things haven't been going that great for us, you know. But one thing that it could do in adversity, we might actually stick together. You know, if he meant make America great again, and that means segregation and all this other stuff, then guess what? Our businesses might thrive again. We might be kinder to each other. We might stick together and use our $800 billion that we spent last year on each other. And we might have more love and less killing of each other once we're placed in those situations. You know, and so that's how I feel about the whole, aftermath after the election.
All right. You know what? I can appreciate a lot of what you said, and I'm not one to just patronize you because, as you know, Officer Harrison, if I disagree with you or anybody else on the planet, I'm going to speak my mind. If I agree with you, ain't no shame in my game there, and I just so happen to agree with what you said. I've stated it up front that I wasn't feeling Barack Obama, and we don't know what this man is going to do. But I do know one thing. We've been through a hell of a lot as a people. You know, our ancestors and that energy, because, you know, we talk holistically on this program, because it is about an energy that we all have in common, some more so than others. As African Americans, we have a stronger energy link than perhaps energy link with someone on the other side of the planet who is of a different persuasion or background. There are energies that drive all of us. So what I'm getting at here is, with that conversation, is this individual who is now in office, Donald Trump, as you alluded to, you know, may bring out some of those energies that have been dormant in us, that exist clearly, because we wouldn't be on the planet now if it didn't, to get through how many hundreds of years of slavery, you know, how many years aftermath of Jim Crow and then oppression that we're dealing with now. Now what we're dealing with, in a sense, is as intense in some perspectives, folks. Don't blow up my lines on this one, my phone lines. In some perspective, is as intense as what our forefathers went through. Now listen to me when I say this. This is covert. What we're dealing with now, listen, is covert, meaning not the obvious. It's one thing to see an enemy, hear an enemy, and be able to touch an enemy. But when you got covert coming at you, meaning it's clandestine, it is of a level that is not so obvious, that's some real stuff to deal with. We're talking about think tanks. Don't misunderstand the situation that's going on. When you turn on a television, there is something called subliminal suggestion. I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, the crime rate is up beyond what it's been in inner cities, and that, you know, the drug situation is as bad, and unemployment, and yet at the same time, you got those that are on mainstream television of our same persuasion and color, seeming like, psh, it's all good. Turn on the BET Awards. Feel good about yourself. Listen, children in elementary and middle school, there's no racism. We're all in this together. Martin Luther who? I've taught in the school system, as you know, Officer Harrison. Taught from elementary all the way up through high school, most of my time being spent at the high school level dealing with what some would label troubled children. So I've been there in the classroom dealing, and in that urban classroom. And I've talked to students who, believe it or not, at middle school really don't have a clue what Martin was about or what Malcolm was about. And that to me is blasphemy. But that's part of that clandestine, covert battle that we're up against right now. So does Trump move me? No, I'd say not. I'm not. In fact, I believe it could be to our advantage. And we still don't know where he's coming from. He was one of the few that at least talked about the agenda in terms of what was going on. You barely could get Barack Obama to talk about a black agenda. Folks, I talk about it all the time. An excellent website, blackagendareport.com. No spaces. blackagendareport.com. We had the editor on 2 weeks ago of that particular paper, news media website. You want to get some real black news? Go there. Educate yourself. blackagendareport.com. Glenn Ford. He doesn't mince words either. So, you know, I appreciate what you're saying here. Now, you know, let's drill it down a little bit, Officer Harrison, as a police officer, speaking about having been in the classroom and seeing what's going on, you know, with our children. And as I mentioned, I'm honored to say that we have an individual, and this is probably near to you because I know you're involved in working with youth and progressive organizations in the community. We have an individual that is going to be joining us who is head of an organization called OPEN, and you probably are familiar with it, Officer. OPEN stands for Our People Affecting Neighborhoods, and he's a young brother that's making a difference, and I'm going to take pleasure in bringing him to the airwaves to give a perspective, because see what happens is we go on what the media portrays, and then we find ourselves turning our back on ourselves. So I'm going to make sure that we bring him to the airwaves shortly. But before we bring Brother Johnson on, Officer Harrison, with regard to what you're seeing as a police officer, generally speaking, what do you see going on in, you know, in the streets with regard to the influences of our youth?
Okay, with the influence of our youth, I just see a lack of participation on our part. We're not invested like we used to be. And it's like a garden, you know. You can have a well-kept garden that's going to produce fruit, vegetables that are going to thrive. But if you no longer tend to that garden and you abandon it, it's going to be filled with weeds, and, you know, the fruit is going to be strangled, and there's no more seeds that are going to come up. The soil is not going to be as good. And it's the same thing. I just feel that we have, you know, we keep saying, you know, we're our black leaders. We're our black leaders in times, and we're looking for our black leaders. And, you know, and they bring up Sharpton, and they bring up Jesse, and things like this, you know, the same old people. But the thing is that I want people to realize that we are the black leaders. We are the black leaders. We're looking for other people instead of saying that I'm that leader. I'm that person that can make a difference. And the thing is that we got to realize helping our communities is not just a black community. It's a community, you know, I just say urban community, which entails different races. In the urban community, we have to give back. We have to show these children love. We have to give them things that some children get naturally from their parents, but these children have never been taught right from wrong, never been taught how to respect their elders or authority, never been taught manners. You know, the way I feel is that raising your children alone does not give you the right to toot your horn. That's what you're supposed to do. But how many other children do you help? How many other children of less fortunate, or, you know, it could be somebody that did grow in a household that did have more money than others, or had both parents, but they're lacking love and attention, you know? And the thing is that I think as every race is judged, and not only judged, but the success of your race and where you stand as a race depends on how much you give back to your own race. How much do you, you know, how do you participate in these children's lives and teach them that they're, tell them that they're special. You know, the first person that told me that I was special, or the first person that really made me understand how special that I was not related to me. You know, so the thing is that that's that gap that's missing. You know, people say, well, where's the parents? We got to understand something. In these urban areas, there are no parents anymore. You know, a lot of cases, there are no parents. They're living with an aunt or a sister or a grandmother or anybody who would step up to the plate to take on this serious role, who might not be equipped to do so, or in the best health, or understand, you know, the lingo of what's going on in today's society to be able to be effective. So we have to realize that, and we have to be willing and able to go down to these children, go into the inner cities, walk around, just randomly talk to people, you know, and make differences in people's lives. And that's the main thing that I think that we need to do. We can't talk about situations, but then yet don't go and talk to the people and understand what they need, why they do these things, you know, what's going on. You know, we have to stop, you know, speaking from our porch, you know.
Wow. Wow. You know what I'd like to do at this point? I want to bring on a brother that said he would be willing to share his perspective from, you know, been involved on the street level with the gangs, you know, now with a perspective that is broader than I'm sure when he was even younger, looking to do things a different way. So I want to bring on and give him a platform, and that's what we're supposed to do as the old heads, as we say. You know, give our young brothers a platform to step off on and step up into their light. So with that, I want to bring on Brother Jack Johnson. Brother Jack, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
Yeah, man. You know, it was a pleasure talking with you this past weekend. We were at an event, and actually, officer, I believe you were at the event as well. It was basically a call. I want to say call to arms, not military arms, but a you know, all hands on deck kind of a 5K event. I met this young brother, and I was really impressed with what he had to say and his perspective, his experiences that he was willing to bring forward and just bear it all. And also, as much as anything, you know, just to talk about the direction that he sees we're going. And he's talking about our youth need to hear. So the brother has started an organization called Open, Our People Affecting Neighborhoods. So I'm sure we're going to have Brother Jack on in the weeks and months and years ahead, and I'm going to see that growth in what he's doing and within himself and his organization. And I'm thrilled to you know, be able to help platform where I believe he's headed. First of all, Brother Jack, share with us, you know, your organization, a little bit of why you decided to get it together and what it's about. And then I want you to join in some of the dialogue that we're having.
Okay. The name, I came up with the program basically just be able to just, you know, give a different perspective to, like, you know what I'm saying, the people in the community, because I come from a gangbanging culture, and, you know what I'm saying, people look at that culture like it's so bad and this and that, but they don't understand that the hearts of the gangbanger is one of the most loyalist, most caring thing to a fault. You know what I'm saying? He can know his homie is doing something wrong or violating or whatever. He is still robbed for him because he got that much love for him. And my thing is to lead by example and show that that same love that we show for our homies is supposed to be shown to the streets and the community that we live in. The same streets that we run around in and we live in and we hang around in, it's supposed to be shown to the streets because our program is called Open, Our People Affect Neighborhoods, and it's all based off the Black Panther 10-point program, which is basically just us doing for us, not waiting for nobody, not waiting for the government, not waiting for a sponsor or whatever, just getting out and doing simple things that that build, you know what I'm saying, just the self-esteem of the community as a whole. Our objective is to rebuild the bonds in the community that was lost, you know what I'm saying, like the officer was saying, like that disconnect is to rebuild those bonds, you know what I'm saying, so we can build better morals within the youngins, and just to recondition the minds of the people, of the young folk, because, you know, right now, our young people out there, like, they don't care about God, they don't care about money, they don't care about sex, they don't care about cars, they don't care about nothing, which means they hollow inside. So this is the best time to fill them up with, you know what I'm saying, with the tools that they need, and it got to come from somebody that they can relate to, because, you know what I'm saying, these youth, they see past all the nonsense that, you know what I'm saying, that transpired over these years, all the broken promises from, you know what I'm saying, past presidents and, you know what I'm saying, different, you know what I'm saying, this is different promises for a better day, like, you know what I'm saying, so they see that it's all, I understand, but it's all bullshit, so, you know what I'm saying, the only thing left is, like, you know what I'm saying, self-gratification, you know what I mean, which leads, you know what I'm saying, what leaves out the Karen, you know what I'm saying, that was once, you know what I'm saying, built in the community. Because I remember when the hood was the hood, everybody on the block knew each other. You couldn't come in the hood and start no bull crap. But now, since we lost those bonds within the community, you know, and they knocking down posts, they knocking down projects, moving enemies into the same neighborhoods that they, you know what I'm saying, that they had problems with, you know what I'm saying, it's basically the same. I hate to say it, to me and my homies, you know, because we do a lot of reading, and like I'm trying to let y'all know and show that the homie is not ignorant person, because we do a lot of reading, and it's kind of like the same thing they did in Germany, like, you know what I'm saying, desensitizing, you know what I'm saying, just the media, the mainstream, to just us as black, as young black men, you know what I'm saying, so they could gear up for whatever they got planned, you know what I mean, so, you know what I'm saying, my program is to show the hearts of the homies and let them know that they are the true soldiers, and as the Panthers would say, rank and file of the new revolution, because, you know what I'm saying, it was the hustler turned revolutionary that was out there selling those Black Panther newspapers, you know what I'm saying, it was the con artist, you know what I'm saying, turned Panther that was able to, you know what I'm saying, talk business into donating to help with the Black Breakfast program. So my whole thing is to just open the eyes to the homies to their true destiny, which is to be, you know what I'm saying, the patrollers, the providers, the protectors, or the elders and the kids. So, you know what I'm saying, that's what the program is. We got three programs that we do. One program is the My Block program, where we just clean up blocks and just try and beautify the neighborhood, because, you know what I'm saying, the if police ride through and they see it's a manicured neighborhood, they more likely, you know what I'm saying, the perception changes, and we do free shape-ups for the kids, you know what I'm saying, so, you know, look good, feel good, because, you know, self-esteem is the major thing in the hood that needs to be addressed. And we got the We Eating program, where we try to feed 100 families every month, and all this is out the mud, like, you know what I'm saying, like, we ain't got no funding, no sponsors, so I lean on my homies, you feel me, to show the community that It's the gangbangers and the drug dealers, and, you know what I'm saying, little bad jokers running around not going to school because he trying to make some money to feed his little sister because mom dude's getting high. Like, you know what I'm saying, those are the ones that, you know what I'm saying, their hearts need to change for this to change. So that's basically what it is, to try and change the hearts of the homies so they can show that love that they show for their homie and they set for their community. You know what I'm saying? So
you know, that's a beautiful thing. That you're talking about, when you start talking about changing the hearts, because, you know, we have the minds. You mentioned the Black Panthers, and that's one of the, if not, you know, the model that you target yourself after to some extent. And, you know, society would, back in the day, because that's, you know, you're talking about back in my day when I was young, my brother probably more in the peak of that, older brother of that era, but I was there observing, you know, what was going on. And if you weren't down at the grassroots, you wouldn't have understood that, you know, these folks was trying to change hearts, just like what you're talking about. They was trying to take that lemon and make it into some lemonade with the limited resources they had, and help protect their neighborhoods and help to feed families within the neighborhood. But it was given a stigma, and as we all know, and that's another piece that, let me step back a half a step and throw a 3-point out. We all don't know enough about the real deal of what the Panthers were about. All we can go on is what the media, the FBI want to put out for us, which is some negative rhetoric. And we've had programs to have that discussion. In fact, we've had a couple PhDs who have done the research on it. And the next time we bring on, for example, our brother Eddie Taylor, who's done a book, The Day the Crabs Got Out, is one of his books. A beautiful book. You say you all read a lot. But this brother has done the research on the real truth of the Panther movement. And one of the issues is we don't know enough about who we are. And I love that aspect of what you're saying about, you're also out to educate, to increase self-esteem. That goes hand in hand with education. I heard that, feeding the families, the self-esteem piece. But you cannot have self-esteem unless you know who you are. And so the next time we have on Dr. Eddie Taylor, who, as I said, done the research, and that was of his generation, so he's bringing it real strong. The Day the Crabs Got Out, The Revival of Black America is his latest book. Again, the name of his book is The Day the Crabs Got Out, The Revival of Black America. And it's at Barnes & Noble. I like to go in and not necessarily buy the book, but maybe review the book in Barnes & Noble and catch a chair and just kind of look through it. But I think you'll find that book very, very enlightening for you and your organization, Brother Jack. His name is Dr. Eddie Taylor, out of Chicago, a deep brother. He's been on the show many times. He'll probably be on in the next few weeks, but when he comes back, you'll be on the program with him if your time permits and you're willing, because I think you two have a lot of synergy in terms of the background of the Panther movement and what they were bringing and the value that they brought to our society. If nothing else, that self-esteem piece, that power to the people piece. And then you also said you tired of the lies. And it was so apropos for, that opening bumper tune. I always open up and close up with a bumper tune. Those are the OJs. I'm from Ohio, Cleveland, born and raised. And, we raised with the OJs. And so, I know those lyrics backwards and forwards. But some of the lyrics go, we are tired. We don't want no more lies. In fact, it goes specifically like this. It's about time for things to get better. We want the truth, and no more lies. We want freedom, justice, and equality. I want it for you, and I want it for me. Don't you know? We got to give the people what they want. So you are absolutely correct, and that ties in with what Officer Harrison was saying. Let's not get caught up in this rhetoric because somebody has a label, Democrat, on their back. I got relatives that won't speak to me because I told them I didn't vote for a Democrat. You bet. You know what? It's all part of the clandestine covert effort that I was talking about earlier. That's all by design. Divide and conquer. Ain't no reason my blood should stop speaking to me. Because I didn't vote for somebody whose husband put my cousins in jail? Are you kidding me? So we got to do a better job. Listen, listeners, we are having a serious dialogue as we do every Thursday, and we're just talking about what's going on. If you'd like to join in the dialogue, press 1 on your dial. If you dialed in, and if you didn't, you'll want to dial in to 347-838-9142, well, we're having some serious dialogue jumping off in here. We got Brother Jack Johnson. I love that name because, he's a standout. And he started an organization, OPEN, are people affecting neighborhoods based on the Black Panthers movement? I want to talk a little bit more about that with Jack in just a moment. And we also have Officer Burnell Harrison, a black, young, highly respected and commended police officer in urban America, giving us perspective from, you know, that side of being beat on the street. Two very young brothers who are making a difference. And I say young, I'm not talking in the, you know, late 30s and all that. We're talking young, 20s, 30s, early 30s. So listen, folks, these are the people that are going to make a difference in what we're trying to do. But, you know, I consider myself an old head, so to speak. But we got to all be in the mix for this battle, because it's gone global now, folks. And on a global scale, you know, if you're not shaking and baking the booty, you're not black. And that's not just what we're about. You know, and I ain't trying to hate on the rappers and all that. You know, I'm an R&B funk, you know, kind of dude. That's my background. That's what I was raised with. So I ain't going to try to hate on my new generation, because there's some strong brothers in there that's doing the rap. But at the same time, let's not be misled. Let's be very careful that we're not misleading our young potential brains in our youth, so that they have to believe that all they can do is, you know, shake it and bake it. And so when I see that, there's no balance any longer. You know, I mean, you know, back in the day, we had a little bit of Rick James up in there, you know. But we had some Chaka Khan. We had some balance. Where's the balance right now? And that's by design. That's all I'm saying. That's by design. So we don't have that balance like we used to. So we got to be very careful what's happening to us. And we also have to hold ourselves accountable, because we got some Judases up in the camp. You know, we got some brothers and sisters up in here that don't have our best interest at hand. And when we identify them, it's important that we call them out. You know, we just got to, yeah, what? You doing what? Oh, you taking one of our own out? Okay, well, we got a challenge with that. I'm not talking about the gangbangers. I'm talking about the true Judases within a given organization. So we got to be very, very careful. The number to call in and join in this dialogue is 347-838-9142. We're going to come back and loop back around to Brother Jack, but I want to hear, after having heard what Brother Jack had to say, I want to hear what Officer Burnell has to say. What is your thoughts on this, having heard this young brother, Officer Burnell?
My thoughts on it is, you know, when I heard him speak at the rally, I know it to be true, because I was one of those young men lost and, you know, forgotten in a lot of ways. And, you know, there were situations that led me to make different decisions, or maybe I wasn't at the right place at the right time, or wasn't at the wrong place at the right time. That's the only thing that separates me from someone who's on the other side or has been on the other side of law. It's not that I was better. It was just that circumstances, you know. And that's all it takes, you know, is a circumstance. And I just want to commend him for, you know, getting the brothers up, establishing that, you know, let's change, you know, the way that we're going. Let's be positive. Let's put things together. Let's have a voice. Let's let people know that we're here and what we need and things like that, and not depict this negative face, you know, that comes along with it. Because even in my line of profession, you know, when I come across a young brother that's black, Hispanic, or whatever your race is or whatever, and you appear to be in that lifestyle, or based upon colors you're wearing or tattoos or whatever, you know, I see that you are in that lifestyle, I don't have a negative feeling in my bone about you. You know, I don't think enemy when I see you. I think this is my brother. These are people, these are human beings. I don't know what situations they're in and going through. But my thing is that upon meeting me, I'm going to make an impression as a black male, and I'm going to make an impression as an officer and just a human being in general that cares, that shows love, that's compassionate, and that if you need me and if there's any way that I can help you or talk to you or whatever you need, that's what I'm here for, you know. And Jack, the meeting was yesterday. Yesterday was the meeting.
Yeah, it was Wednesday.
It was at 3:20 Park.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I must have came at the wrong time because I did honor my word by coming up there. I did come up there. I must have came at the wrong time, but I did. I want to let you know that I am a man of my word, and I wasn't going to be the type of person that was going to be saying things and not following up on what I said I was going to do. So I did come by there, but like I said, it might have been at the wrong time that you gave me or whatever. You know, maybe I came too early. But yeah, so that's the main thing. It's like I know, and you got to be very careful because history has showed us that when you try to do something positive, that's when the powers to be come at you.
99 cents with coupon
and $25
purchase, and on 4 pound bags of
Naval
Orange
Instant
1. Okay.
Yeah, I'm
still in.
I got it.
So basically what I wanted to say was basically I want to say that it's no secret how the drugs get into our communities. It's been already in CIA reports that, you know, they had a hand of bringing it in the communities. You know, it's here for a reason. There's no jobs. You know, there's no jobs. And then when you put another substitute for a job to make money, human beings, I don't care what race, religion, creed you are, you know, there's going to be some people that are going to do whatever they have to do to put food on their table and to support their family, you know. So we're not going to play those games like we don't know why they're here, you know, things like
right.
that. We're not going to play those games, okay? So the thing is that it's going to be tough to tell somebody to put this illegal substance down if you're not trying to replace it with something positive, if you're not giving them an option that's more viable, that's better for them. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't met too many people that are in those conditions that if you gave them the option to do something that was safer, warmer, you know, something that they could have some pride, you know, when you say, you know, when people, you know, you talk, you say, what do you do for a living? And they can say, I work here, with there, I got my own business or whatever, that would not rather do those things than some of these illegal things where, you know, with just doing that job comes a lot of situations that put you in harm's way, you know? So I know that for a fact, you know? So it's like, you know, we have to realize that just by the sheer numbers, if there's no jobs, and in the last 8 years under a black president, you know, we have gotten even deeper with a higher unemployment rate of the black male. What are you expecting to do? And I didn't vote for Obama either term. I went 4 years without TV, cleared my mind and everything, and really got back to my natural state. And I saw the writing on the wall that he was not for us, not just black people, but the urban community in general. And so I was watching one day when he was at a college, I think in Louisiana somewhere, and there were some black students that stood up and they asked him, you know, what are you going to do for black people? We never heard what you was going to do for black people. And he looked them in the face and he said, well, I'm not the black president, I'm everybody's president. And he basically did not answer the question, and he did not say one thing
that he was going to do for the black community. Now, we're not saying that means you're, like, for us, but we are the people, and we are part of this nation, and every race should be represented in your agenda. And we have every right to ask you that question. And when he didn't answer that question, it really confirmed what I knew already. And then the first time that Obama did address black people was when he got up on national TV and he told national TV that black men need to take care of their children and need to get a job and need to do this, do that. And he basically criticized us and blasted us. And I really thought that was very disrespectful that the first time that you even acknowledged us was to bash us. But I know for a fact that black men are stepping up as fathers and, you know, despite all the snares and all the traps that are set and laid before us, you know. And I really thought that was disrespectful of him. And the fact that you're the leader of the country and we have the highest unemployment rate, so you want me to take care of my children. You know, as I'm speaking on black men. You want us to take care of our children. However, under you, we have the highest unemployment rate. You know, there is no jobs in our community. So now you want to take care of our children. So where there's no jobs there, we look for alternative measures, which is illegal, then to take care of our children and family. Then we're the ones who go to jail for taking care of our children and family by doing illegal things. That's the only thing that's there for us. And then you criticize us for being locked up for trying to support our families in the first place. I wasn't feeling that. And so,
you know, you're not the only one that wasn't feeling that. I remember back when he, and I gave him a pass on this one, when he first ran for his first term, and it was one of the anniversaries of, you know, of Martin Luther King's March on Washington, and he tried to, you know, speak to that to appeal to the people, African Americans, I believe, for the most part, because that's what who put him in office. And I'm so proud of our African American people because a number of them did not vote for Hillary, and I know it may be burning some people right now, but you know, you'll get over it. But the bottom line is, this man refused, and if you go back, that was the one that probably one of his largest, it was the one he had in a stadium, I think it was out in Denver when he was running for his first term, and it was, you know, tens of thousands of people, and he spoke. It was on the anniversary of Martin Luther King's event, and he refused to even let the word Martin Luther King come out of his mouth, and the closest he came is he said, "And there was a man that stood before us, but never used his name." And I'm sitting here waiting for him to say, you know, it's falling off the top of my tongue. I'm saying, okay, he's going to say Martin Luther King because everybody's proud. We got a first potential black president. He's running, you know, this is his, one of his big rallies. That man never even said the name Martin Luther King. That should have been my sign right there. Folks, ain't no shame in my game. That man ain't right. I'm telling you. He even had the decent, brought Beyonce in. I ain't hurting. I ain't trying to play her hate. I mean, she did. Listen, I was young. I'd be foolish and a hypocrite to say that, you know, I didn't enjoy, you know, music that portrayed something that by some older folks at that time might have said, oh, that's, like I said, Rick James. You know, I'm in love with Mary Jane. She's my main thing. I remember my mom said, don't listen to that music. So don't misunderstand. I ain't player hating out here. But where's the balance? You know, that's what we got. And so I do have an issue with what they're portraying. As far as I'm concerned, I just don't see an agenda. I have not seen an agenda for African Americans under him. And, you know, as you just said, this ain't about a show to bash Barack Obama. I wish the brother well. I campaigned for him like some others never even dreamed of. I'm not going to regret that because all things happen for a reason. But I will say this, going forward, we got to just pull up our bootstraps, come together. I'm seeing positives like Brother Jack on the phone right now. In Ecclesiastes, if anybody is a believer from a Christian perspective, because I respect whoever's listening, whatever you believe in, as long as it's grounded in love, I'm okay with that, because I believe there's just one source. For me, I call it God. But if you want to call it something else, if it's grounded in love, whether you know it or not, it's God. That's from my perspective. But I'm going to say, as a Christian, if you look at Ecclesiastes, it was brought to my attention even this evening. It talks about a government, and whoever is over that government, it's divine. But what are we doing with that is what it comes down to. And as I see Brother Jack, he's on the precipice at the beginning of this new administration, starting something amazing. And that's at the beginning of what some people are fearing as the next thing to a devil. In fact, I'm going to speak on this. I'm going to bring on a listener who wants to say something. This man isn't even in office, and he's at least kept one of his promises. I don't know if y'all realize, he said that he was going to stop jobs from going down, you know, across the border. Carrier Air Conditioner, one of the largest air conditioning companies in the country, if not the world, was threatening to take their little small, but to a small town, huge plant across the border to Mexico, 1,000 jobs. He already negotiated with Carrier to say, okay, I told you what's going to happen for those who take their jobs out. Carrier has rescinded taking their jobs across the border and keeping them in Indiana. So I ain't trying to promote Trump. Let's just keep it real. This ain't about Trump. Trump, what? Listen, you was born with a silver spoon in your mouth, Trump. Just get over it. Don't be talking about how you pulled yourself up. Your daddy gave you $1 million to get started. I wish my daddy could have given me. No. So I ain't kissing your butt, but I'll give you credit for what you do. And when you cross the line and you come strong with me or my people, I'm going to be coming at you. But I have to give you credit. You did something good. I'm sure some of them thousands, if it was just two or three blacks, were black. And I appreciate him at least keeping word for one thing, that he's going to keep jobs in, from crossing the border, just leaving without some penalty. That wasn't happening too often under this other guy. So, you know, I'm just putting it in perspective. Let's not all push the panic button and go running with our tails between our legs. And I can say that because I'm black. You know, I can use the term tail. Others can't. Okay, we got a listener here from Ohio. Uh-oh, looks like one of my relatives. Okay, we got to make sure we get them on the air. Hello, from Ohio. Did you have something you wanted to comment?
Hi there.
Ah, how you doing, sis? What's up? What you got to say?
I'm great. I'm sounding a little hoarse here because I am. But I'm fine. I'm working on it. You know how we talk about that, hitting it hard.
I know. You have to talk later. I'll give you a protocol for that.
Oh, good. Hi. You know, hi. Chloe wants to say hi.
Hi.
You know, hi, how you doing,
honey?
Young
people getting involved and listening, too.
That's my niece.
At any rate, I couldn't help but jump in on this conversation because, you know, the youth are my passion. And one of the things that I've always maintained, and I thank your guest for doing what he's doing, you know, and getting to the real core of what needs to happen. You know, our work is just beginning. Whether Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump won the election, I'm going to be very honest with you. We've had work that we need to do no matter what. Donald Trump is who he is. Prayerfully, he'll keep the businesses and the jobs in this country, and all the other rhetoric that he spouted and spewed out there that has turned everybody off and everybody's afraid for. You know, we'll just have to believe that, you know, we'll work past all of that. But beyond that, as I said, we have to save our young people, and that's whether they are 8, 18, 28, 38, 48. You know, our people, our young men in particular, are at risk. And one of the things that I believe I heard your guest just say had to do with the fact that these young people are just shells of human beings. They have no feeling of self-worth, self-esteem, and they're just empty. They're just empty. You know, So I like what he's saying. I like what he's working towards. And I just want to confirm that. And it took me to something I learned for the first time in college. You know, that's one thing I'll say. College isn't for everybody, but goodness, does it build your perspective on life and living. Some of the classes I took, I would never use in the workplace, but they just broaden my horizon on how I feel and think about myself and other people. And one of the things was learning about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You remember that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I bring that up.
He was a doctor, right? He was a psychologist.
Yes.
Right?
And I bring that up because, yes, I agree with quite a bit of what he wrote. And one of the things was he, in a pyramid format, and you all can go online, Google it, look it up, Maslow, apostrophe S, Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. He speaks about the things that are important to us as human beings, the things that make us tick, the things that we have to be whole. And one of the first needs, because it's on the bottom of the pyramid, it's at the broadest part of the pyramid, is a basic need of survival. It's just something we have to do. We live to survive. And that need has to do with physiological things like food, water, warmth, you know, rest. And then comes safety. And then the psychological needs, and then the belongingness needs, and the self-actualization is the ultimate, where we just want to be the best we can be at whatever it is we feel we're supposed to be doing. So I think, and the work I believe needs to be done, has to do with us just educating, and I go to that again, you know, sharing and teaching and letting folks know whatever it is that you desire to do, you can do. Just know it's okay. We know you're just trying to survive, but not at the expense of another human being. And I could go on and on and on, but I'm going to stop. I just had to jump in. I wanted to say I'm enjoying the show today. And, keep up the good work.
Yeah, well, you know, we appreciate those comments, Iris. It's a joy, and I'm blessed just to, you know, have you to bring those comments and have you as my blood, you know, sis, and it's just good, and I certainly truly appreciate you, and what you've done. You know, you're not a talker, folks. You know could hear what you've done with your youth programs, and it's one thing to get on and support and encourage as you have, but I've seen your work. You know, I've seen you over the years with your youth programs that you've started right there in Cleveland, in the community, down in the grassroots of the community. You know, feet on the ground to turn lives around, and that's what it's all about. And that doesn't stop because a Trump comes in the office, and that's what I hear you saying. See, folks don't know what you're doing.
No,
you know,
no.
So, that's what we're talking about here. So let's cut all the pity party, all the, oh, I'm pissed off, and all the, I ain't going to support him for what he's trying to do. Let's get real here, folks. Ain't no offense.
Just get busy. Yes.
You're either on one side or the other. You're either trying to help the situation or the other. And if you're trying to hate on Donald Trump because your person didn't get in office, you're my enemy. Because if this man is saying, I'm going to bring jobs to blacks. And your position is, well, you know, he bringing jobs to blacks. That doesn't make Democrats look good. And you're going to try to do some bull mess like MSNBC is trying to do and CNN because they're sore, sorry losers. Then you're an enemy to me. And that's just the way it is. And you know, it's unfortunate, like I said, this thing is splitting families. But that's by design. You know, when Hillary decided that she was such a sore loser, that she was going to try to divide the parties by not even showing up to acknowledge, to concede, I knew right then what was going down. So what she's done is she's turned me off, and I ain't never been thinking about trying to vote or be a Republican. But something action like that is enough to turn me away from Democrats. She has turned me off completely. So, folks, that's where I'm coming from. No, I ain't become no Republican at this point. But I'm just saying, she was a more. She really revealed who she was. But, you know, the truth will always be revealed, as far as I'm concerned. Because she was very divisive. And you know, I'm a show-me kind of dude. Like Missouri, you can talk all you want, Trump, about how you're going to do this to the immigrants and this and that. Show me, and then let's get it on. So all I've seen so far is him bring 1,000 jobs back to America. As far as I'm concerned, he's batting 1,000. So let's just see where this heads. But I have a feeling there's a lot of people that don't want to see him be successful just for the sake of that. And I ain't buying that. I'm not down with that. I don't care if he's a Republican, Democrat, hoodoo, or whatever. So thanks, Iris. I appreciate that. You know, we got to talk later. I know I'm overdue. Love you, sis.
All right. Love
you too. I want to get back to the brother, Jack. Looks like he may have had to leave. I'm not sure. Because I know he had limited time with us, but I see the engineers dropped his call. Jack, if you're on the air, would you please speak up now? I'm not sure if you had to drop. There's so many lines that I have open here. I can't determine if your line dropped off. So again, if Jack, if you are on the air, I've opened up all of the lines that I have that might be yours. Would you please speak up now? So it looks like Jack is no longer with us, but I do want to emphasize that Jack Johnson, founder of, from what I'm hearing and seeing, a good organization that is going to be doing good things called OPEN, which stands for Our People Effecting, that's Effecting Neighborhoods. And it's based on the Black Panther movement. And their goal, as he said, is to help raise self-esteem of the youth, feed families, at least 100 they're trying to feed a month, and to basically change the hearts of the youth, because he spoke of how they're shell-shocked from all that they've been faced with. And let's not blame the victims. So with that said, we're going to wrap up this program, give our special guest, Officer Harrison, opportunity to close out and put him on the spot like I like to do and ask him if he'd join us in the weeks ahead as we continue this dialogue. Officer Harrison, you're going to close it out for us. Any closing thoughts about this dialogue today?
Your closing thought was, you know, I know a lot of people from different races, and the post-election experience was completely different for other races. The outcry of Black people, it was a lot different than the response of Asians, who I know very well and work with and things of that nature, and Indians and, you know, different sects. They weren't bothered like we are. And when I looked at it, and it was not even top, they didn't even bring it up. I mean, you know, amongst Black people and, you know, Caucasian people, you know, they would just bring it up all the time. That was like for the first couple of weeks, that was just the topic. But with these other ethnicities, it didn't even come up because, you know, you look about it, when you look at it, they're not concerned because they support each other. They're not concerned about who's the president and things like that, because they know at the end of the day they're going to support each other's businesses. They're going to be there and put their money together. When things happen, they have their own television station. They have their everything. They have everything that they need to get what they want. We're so outraged and upset and just, you know, just
you know, just make it our everything, because we rely on the government. We rely on others for things. We haven't gotten together into that point since the days of the 60s and when we had our Black Wall Streets and before integration. We were the same way. And we spent $800 billion. And during this election, you know, I made a conscious decision. And this is what we need to do. You know, they say they have the thing Black Lives Matter. But one thing we do know that matters is Black Dollars Matter. And we need to start spending our Black dollars on, first of all, our businesses, on each other, to keep them afloat, to make sure that our money circulates, you know, a certain amount of times in our community, which helps it grow, you know. And we need to support each other financially and stick together and put our money together and to start businesses, you know. Sometimes we need to use this money, you know, for our own businesses, but, you know, we don't own certain businesses, so there's no way we can totally go Black business. But also, we need to come together. And if this person is a landscaping company and this one, and they're, like, both having trouble, maybe you think about combining efforts and, you know, in this way they have more equipment, more trucks, and things like that. We have to come together as a nation in order to overcome whoever is the president.
Wow. That's profound, my brother. That is so profound that other cultures, races, even subcultures, and when I say subcultures, I'm talking we're African Americans, but we ain't a few split hairs from our Latino brothers and sisters, our Jamaican brothers and sisters. We can go on, and even, hey, by some perspectives, our Italian brothers and sisters. You hear me now? Because I've been on many vacations and in different scenarios in different places when I've just happened to come across something about Italians. They think they're Black, but, you know, they'll tell you in a minute that Sicilian side of them wasn't far from Africa. I say that jokingly, but in a sense, seriously. You're absolutely correct, because they know they're going to stand beside each other, and that's what I was talking about. We gotta look at the Judases in our communities, and we gotta literally core them out. We have no time, and we have no patience, and we'll have no tolerance for that, because we have too much at stake, and we have no time. So you make a very, very excellent point with what you've just said. It's a matter of what we're doing, not what someone else is doing. The best way to get rid of weeds is to grow good grass. You know, just keep growing that good grass, and eventually you're gonna squeeze out the weeds. So we don't have to worry about a Trump. What we need to concern ourselves with is what we're doing. That book I was referring to, and we'll be having Dr. Eddie Taylor on the program, I believe, in the next few weeks. The Day the Crabs Got Out, subtitle, The Revival of Black America. The book is all about how we're not doing what we need to do as a community to support one another. So your point is apropos, Officer Harrison. We thank you for doing what you do in the communities. Let me just put that out there. It's well noted, and it's appreciated, and those are the kind of things that are making a difference. And so to our listeners, you know, I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling all right about where we are right now, in contrast to, you know, to so many that, like I said, are pushing panic buttons and the like. I'm feeling pretty good about it. So until we come together again, I just wish all of you, you know, peace, blessings, and wellness as we go into the holiday season. Hopefully we'll be together in the next coming weeks before, but if you're not able to join us in the weeks ahead before, if you celebrate Christmas or Kwanzaa or any of the other Hanukkah, may you and yours be blessed with peace and love and insight and wellness And hopefully next week you'll be able to join us again. Tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Don't be a secret agent. I love James Bond. I think I got the most of the whole collection. But I ain't trying to be a secret agent. So don't you be a secret agent. Tell somebody about Progressive News Weekly. Because together we can truly make it happen. And with that, I do feel all right. We're going to close out with a upbeat bumper tune. It's going to be all right. Just feel it.